I'm happy to be back here with you tonight. And I think I was here in April of 70, if I remember correctly, from a little note I have in the book, where I try to remember what little message I brought. Now, service is, of course, not till Friday again, which gives you a chance to take a little rest in between. Some folks come from quite a distance, and also gives me an opportunity, too, to not struggle so hard with my throat. As on Sunday morning and then also Sunday evening, or whatever time the service is on Sunday, some services are in the afternoon now in various places, and others in the morning and night. So, to bring you some various subjects, I think might be interesting, especially one that's very interesting to me, the end time mystery of how close the two spirits are, where the Bible says that man doesn't know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And then, of course, there's the great deception of unrighteousness within the church. And that's the reason I'm going to bring a message tonight on the mysteries of God. I won't attempt to take anything specific, but we'll study them generally in order to go into the mystery of iniquity on Friday night, or rather, yes, Friday night, the mystery of iniquity. But this will give you an understanding of the mysteries themselves, basically, so we have a better understanding of the Bible when it speaks of these various mysteries. Now, I don't know just how long I'll take, so without further ado, let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us in this private service. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that Thou art not a God who is far off, but Thou art a God who is nigh. And Lord, You've made it in this end time so that You can be amongst anybody who wants to believe, regardless of their creed or their dogma, their condition, and You'll manifest forth in gifts. And that's fine for those, Lord, and we appreciate Your great ability to do wonderful things amongst us, but we know there's something greater than that, and that is Your Spirit in us to show us all the truth, lead us into all truth, keep us out of error, to keep us out of the end time destruction, which is so perverse and iniquitous that only the very elected will not be deceived. And so, Lord, we thank You tonight that You're not only now to those who call upon You, but You indwell them too. Give us the truth that our heart needs tonight. The man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Lord, we pray now You be with the mouth and with the ear, Lord, that there might be an understanding of Your word. We carefully give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'd like to turn tonight to just one little scripture, Revelation 10 and 7. And we'll read many more. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God had declared to by his servant, the prophet. Now, in the Bible, there are many mentions of many mysteries. And, of course, they are all to be finished at the end time, brought into illumination and consummation according to the Word of God. They'll be revealed by the seven church age messengers. Now, some of these mysteries that the Bible sets forth are such as the mystery of godliness. Over in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Then there is the mystery of iniquity. That's just, I suppose, the very opposite to the mystery of godliness. That's over in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. But the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then there's a mystery concerning Israel's blindness. How that as much as you try to work amongst Israel and teach by the scripture, they just don't come in. And that's over in Romans 11 chapter, verse 25. I would not, brethren, you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And of course, there's that mystery of the great harlot, the Babylonian system, that's set forth in Revelation, the 17th chapter, and in verse 5. And upon her forehead was her name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And of course, there's another mystery in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 15. And this mystery is about how there's going to be a people get into the resurrection or get the same thing as the resurrection without dying. Because you got to die to be resurrected. In that 51st verse, Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, these are just a few of the mysteries in the Bible. And the reason I brought these to your attention is because in each place, the word mystery is set forth in connection with the thematic structure, whether it be the mystery of godliness, mystery of iniquity, the mystery of Israel's blindness, the mystery of Babylon the harlot, the mystery of a bride who obtains the same result as though she died, and yet she doesn't die. Now, let us consider what a mystery is. Because I'm afraid here is where many people simply don't know what a mystery is because they haven't gone to the Bible to find out. Now, first of all, it is certainly not something about which we can know nothing, or there would be no point in even mentioning it, you know. As soon as people hear that word mystery, they sort of say, well, that lets me up. Now look, the Bible doesn't do foolish things like that. The mystery is not something about which you can know nothing and just call it by name. That's about as bad as maybe going to the catalog to get yourself a wife. You never get to it. Well, I got a wife, where is she? Well, I ordered her from Sears Roebuck or somewhere, but I never got to know it. It's just that truly to think there's a mystery in the Bible you can know nothing about it. God doesn't do things like that. They're in there so we can know something about them. Now, not only is it something that we can know something about, but neither is it something that's so mysterious that it can't be comprehended. See, the word mystery is too much connected with our English word mysterious, see? And this shows us. Say, well, I think those mysteries are so mysterious and hard to know, we just leave them alone. Now, that's wrong. Because my text said, at the end time, the mystery of God would be perfected and consummated. It would be brought in to a full revelation. Now, what is a mystery? This is the thing we should find out from the Word of God, all right? Let's go to Romans, the 16th chapter, and let's look at verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now the word K in the Greek can be translated even, not just and. And many times when you use even, you'll notice how much more sensible it is. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, even the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, I'll read it, brother. Which was kept secret since the world began. Now it tells you right here that according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, if you get a revelation of a mystery, then it can't be mysterious any longer because it's been revealed to you. In other words, the mysterious element has actually been taken out so that you can comprehend or understand what is being spoken about. Now, let me read this in a more literal translation for you. Romans 16:25. Now to one, that's God, who is of power to establish you according to my gospel, even
the proclamation concerning Jesus Christ according to the uncovering, drawing back the curtain, revealing. The mystery, which during eternal times has been kept in silence, but now has been made known. See, there might have been a time when you couldn't know anything for sure about it. There was a time when you'd have simply been guessing to hazard an opinion. There was a time when this subject was not forthcoming. That was a long time ago. But it says, has been made known through prophetic writings according to the mandate of the eternal God, having been made known with a view to the obedience of faith among all nations. Now, how are you going to obey anything of faith if you don't know what you're getting into? How can you have obedience unless you know what is set before you to obey? See? To God alone wise, through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Now let me read again. Now the one, that's God, who is a power to establish you according to my gospel, they're using Caesar even the proclamation concerning Christ. Now, watch it. There's a power to establish according to my gospel. What is that gospel? All right. Even the proclamation concerning Jesus Christ. Now, what about it? What about that proclamation? Listen. According to the uncovering of the mystery, which during eternal times has been kept in silence, but now has been made known. It's not in silence anymore. It's being proclaimed. It's being talked about. It's being brought into view. Now, as it may know, through prophetic writings according to the mandate of God. God's command to bring these mysteries into view, bringing them so that we may have a revelation and know what they are about. What for? In order to obey them. Now, you know from what this definition I read, this certainly is telling you an awful lot about William Branham's message for the end time. Didn't he say, if you said you'd believe me, why don't you believe me? See? All right. To God alone wise, through Jesus Christ, forever and ever be glory. By a mandate of God, God gave the command that these mysteries be brought into view. Now, he tells you here that the eternal word, which to me is God's foreknowledge. Some of it's in the book. Some of it's not in the book. So, well, what do you mean it's not in the book? What about the time Brother Branham told you the secret to your heart? That wasn't in here. Same Almighty God said it. That same foreknowledge of thus saith the Lord that we saw demonstrated. Here it is. Now, God's eternal word, God's foreknowledge can be made known. It has been made known, said the Apostle Paul, so it is now knowable. Now, let's look at this in Ephesians, the third chapter. One to seven. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, apostle Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, we're going to read something in parenthesis here. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So you see, a mystery is very knowable. Very knowable. This mystery, which in other generations, not ages, that's the wrong word, generations, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. See? Now, it wasn't that somebody didn't know it way back there, but they didn't know it like they know it now. And that's exactly where we are today in Revelation 10 and 7. There is no age to know what we know and how we know it. See? Okay? Now let's read on. Is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice that's why your apostles have that great ministry. Some of them were actually apostles and prophets. God revealing in the mysteries to them. And remember, the apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but the church is built upon revelation. So it's the apostolic prophetic revelation of God. Amen, that we're dealing in. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Just think about all these goodies. Now, it says here that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's one of those great mysteries right there. Now you tell me, is that a mystery today? Not at all. That's as clear as ice water. Good. Clear as crystal. Beautifully revealed. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Colossians, the fourth chapter, and in verse 3. All right. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. Now, wouldn't that be something if Paul was going to tell the people something they couldn't know anything about, or was so mysterious they couldn't get it? Now, what would that do to this faith, Brother Bannon said, that everybody's got faith? Ordinary hyssop, simply exemplified faith, which anybody could have to come to Christ. Now, Paul's going to speak something so vast and so great, so complicated, so unknowable. It doesn't add up, does it? No. All right. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. I'll give you a quote from Brother Branham pretty soon, so don't worry. I'm building up here. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, even stewards of the mysteries of God. What is a steward? A steward is a man who controls and dispenses, and uses for the welfare and good of his master what his master puts in his charge. That's a steward. In plain English, to make it simpler, a steward is simply a man who is given the wealth of a wealthy person, and he is supposed to administer it in such a way as to do his master real credit. So Paul was a steward of the mysteries of God. In other words, he was to minister those mysteries in such a way as to bring a fruitful abundance of that which he ministered right back to the man who owned it. Ministers, all right? 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and yet people say you can't understand it. That's what the Bible teaches. See, that somebody got his own idea in there. And when he got his own idea there, he got tricked by the devil. So the devil could say, now you can't understand that. Well, that's it. Next page. You're going to go through that Bible until you understand anything. And, well, that isn't sensible. Is it? No. It's not sensible. All right. Let's go now to Mark, the fourth chapter. And verses 11 and 12, I think, will do it. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now you put that in the sense of you and me receiving revelation from God, which is what we're supposed to do. And what are we supposed to have? In seeing, we see, we perceive. Hearing, we understand. And be converted, turn right back to God. Anytime you slip, the word brings you right back. See? And our sins are forgiven. Now it says the world doesn't have this privilege, but we have it. We are to know, to understand, to see, perceive these things which are from God. Now, the students of religious history, which history is they deal with from the times the Apostle Paul, have this to say about the word mystery. Now, perhaps many of you have read it in your dictionary. Among the ancient Greeks, the mysteries were religious rites and ceremonies practiced by secret societies into which anyone who so desired might be received. Those who were initiated into these mysteries became possessors of certain knowledge which was not imparted to the uninitiated and were called the perfected. Isn't that what Jesus said here in Mark? He said, you don't belong to those that are to that other group. They are not initiated into our group. If they were initiated into or invested and they were part of us, then they would be able to see and hear and know. See? But he said they won't be able to. Now, what we're doing here is showing you that the word Paul used as mystery was an ordinary word of the day. It was a knowledge that you got only from certain teachers. And when you received that knowledge, you were called one of the perfect. Now that's the illustration as from the ancient writings. Now let's notice exactly how true and perfect this is, along with what we're reading. First Corinthians, the second chapter. All right? Let's read 1 to 10. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, a while back he said it was a mystery. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words and man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. It's the same thing. If you belong to this group, you're perfect. You'll understand it. You've been trained. It won't be foolishness to you. Remember, the cross of Jesus Christ was foolishness to the Greeks and was a stumbling stone to the Hebrews. Why? John the Baptist came and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away sin of the world. And they said, you're pointing at a man. He said, I know I'm pointing at a man. That's the Lamb of God. They said, now hold it right there, bud. Where do you find in Scripture that God said he could take a human being for a lamb? If a lamb we take and shed blood, we are forbidden to sacrifice a human offering. So get out while the going is good. Right? You see, you're not going to sell them anything. It's stumbling block. God says you don't sacrifice human beings. Now who's going to sacrifice one? You can understand. See? But to them that are perfect, well, they say that's Isaiah 53. They understand the life of the animal could not come back upon the believer, but the life of the man could come back upon a man, giving him eternal life if so be that man had eternal life to give by the grace of God. Now, what about those Greeks? Well, they snorted. They said, so this fellow the Son of God? Or they said, the gods have been coming down for years to have our women and have babies by you. We have orgies. Now, you're telling me that this God came down in human form and then he died for people? They said, man, you missed it. Our gods don't do things. They have a ball. They beat us over the head. They throw lightning bolts at and thunderbolts and storms and they, we can't see. But to the initiated, to those that belong, see? Why, they said, that's God. Look at his Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was the Father, but now he wants to express himself as perfect Father, so he does it as Son of Man. And he came down here as a sacrifice. Then he sent his Spirit back as the Holy Ghost. Well, that makes great sense. If you tell that to the fellow down the sea in the Trinitarian, because right now he's blood boiling and he's in bad shape. He can't follow you at all.
He didn't live here. He hasn't been brought into mission. He wrote it right here. Let me let my hand before my face. Oh, say, that's clear. See? Oh, my brother, sister, we're living in the realms of revelation today of the mysteries of God. Let's agree. Now, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, the hidden mystery and wisdom, which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's exactly why they killed him. They didn't understand. It wasn't revealed to them. See? But as it's written, I have not seen or heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay? Galatians. First chapter. 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, with that, don't forget what we read back here in Romans, the 16th chapter, in verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, even the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is all according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret until it began. How many of you tonight would love to have Paul as your teacher? Everybody. Well, what for? What am I teaching on? Roll out those mysteries? No. See, it doesn't gel. The mysteries can be known. They are knowable. It's just that there's a certain group of people know them and another certain group never know them. But they can be known. Now, thus you can see what the mysteries are. The mysteries are actually the revealed truth. The revealed truth of the Word of God to the elect. They're the revealed truth to the elect. That's what they are. Remember how Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? And he said, Rabbi, we know you're a man sent from God, because nobody can do the works that you do, lest God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, a man must be born again. He said, well, what are you talking about? He said, can a man be born the second time by entering his mother's womb and come forth? He said, no. He said, you don't understand. He said, you've got to be born again. Unless you're born of water, even the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of Almighty God. You can't see it. You can't enter. Now you see, those are mysteries. But they're not actually mysteries. What they are is great truth of tremendous depth. Absolute fundamental truth. But Nicodemus couldn't get it at that time. See? Now, notice what it says in John 3. 27 here, it says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. This Word of God cannot be revealed. We cannot get it unless God has given to us in the sense of election, so that we may be able to understand it. Now, don't forget to put the emphasis on revelation, because this is where Brother Branham put it. This is where Paul put it. And a mystery without a revelation is mysterious, it's baffling, it's confusing. Actually, it's pretty well suicidal. That's right. To attempt to figure out the Word of God on your own, which takes the divine revelation, will bring you to death, just like it did Israel. That's not good. So I say, don't forget to put the emphasis on revelation. So you can coordinate what I am saying with what Brother Branham taught us. When he defines a mystery according to Dr. Schofield, which he did, he read Riley Schofield's book, a mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which
a supernatural element remains despite the revelation. See, now Sophia put it in. He said, no matter how clear you get on any truth in the Word of God, there's always something in there that you've got to believe. You just can't make it say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It may go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. So see, I just don't place that 6. Don't worry about it. In due season, God wants you to have it, you'll get it. See, there's a little something in there that maybe you just can't make this go so clear, but you know it anyway. See, if you folks know so much about that business of one God, explain it. You go, well, now, I tell you, I don't know if I can explain it, and you don't feel that at all. Because you know down in here, from what went on up in here, that this and this and this Bible are all together. And so you might not have one little point, but that doesn't bother you any. Or make the other fellow think that he's got you on the run now, that you could turn right around his Trinitarian dogma and have a lot of fun with him too. I mean, he'd be like something like a cat chasing your tail too, and never catching it. So what I'm trying to show you here, it's clear to us, it's real, but there may be some little things you just can't quite line up. Like you hear a preacher say things that, I know that's right, so how do you know? That's a very good question. At this minute, I can't tell you how I know, but I know. And you know something? You know. And the day comes when that scripture comes like that. I remember that time when Brother Branham said that the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost and having received the Holy Ghost was to receive the Word to your day. In other words, to be fully exposed to that Word to your day, and that Word exposed itself to you for that day, and the two of you get together. And I said, amen, that's right. I didn't know one scripture to be about. I said, who hears that? About 2 weeks later, going down the road, putting up. I said, now that's great. I sure appreciate what he said. I'm sure what he said. But where's the scripture? And just like a voice in derision said, the Bible's full of it. It's full of it. John 14, John 16, 1 Corinthians 2 and so on. Down the line, Bible's full of it. See? Now, that in there, like we said, that this revelation, we believe it. It's given to us. We understand it maybe 98%. That's all right. We believe it 100%. And it's gelled 98%. A little something in there. But remember, Jesus said the other fellow wouldn't get it all. He said, I'll just give my words in a real parable, a mystery to them. But he said to you, you will know the mystery of the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't explain the truth with perfect understanding to any natural mind. Amen. You can't explain it perfectly to a natural mind. But God gets through to us. Now, let's look at John 16 and see it here. Calvin 13. Notice. It's a revelation of the Spirit of God. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. How'd you like someone tell you that? You've been around Jesus for about 3.5 years. You thought you were reading everything he taught. And one day he comes to you and he said, I'm going to tell you something. I've got a lot of things to tell you yet, but you haven't got what it takes to hear it and get it. He said, I hope. That's exactly what he told him. He said, you don't have what it takes. So there's no use me telling. Now, if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you'll never know these mysteries. Right? If you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, though you might get it down word perfect by having a fine mind and be a very fine theologian for the world, you'll never make one of God's theologians. You won't do it. You have to be born into the kingdom of God. You have to be one of the initiates. Yes, sir. You got to be in that body. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. And then, and only then, can you bear to hear the truth. Second thing. Ooh, I can't say. What a filthy preacher. Did you hear what he said? Well, I hear he's dead now. It's too bad he didn't die before he wrote that book. In fact, I think we ought to get that book by government decree and burn those books and put in jail those of you. Now, don't think that hasn't already been said, right? Brother Ben hardly told the grace.
And that very thing come out on the Job Time Stone Lutheran.
See?
Don't talk to me about church this evening. I love it. See my eyes snap? That's about the only time I'll get anything snapping in my eyes. I've got to keep the rest under control. Now listen, I want to tell you what that joy to my soul. Because when that circumcised doctrine came into view, and by understanding through the Spirit of God, you just go right down the line and watch it move and watch it move. See? That's what Jesus told him. He said, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How far? As far as you're able to go. He'll not speak himself. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and so on. Now, let me quote from the Anointed Ones of the End Time. The third toll was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed in the Word. Brief. The mystery came down from God as the Word of God. Because the mysteries are, or is, the Word of God, and reveals the entire revelation of God. Now, I had to put this all in here so you know I'm not trying to bypass something that what Brother Branham didn't say. He said, right in accord with what he said. Now, we can see actually then from what we've got tonight that the mysteries actually equate to doctrine. Mysteries are actually doctrine. God's wisdom or truth transmitted to man in order that he may comprehend as far as his human limitations, even though endowed by the Holy Spirit, he will allow the Holy Spirit to take him. Remember, we are still human. We are like that grain of seed, wheat, planted in the cocklebur. And though there is a body coming up out of the wheat, there's still that old rough cellar called the cocklebur. And so, the Holy Spirit reveals to us, as far as he possibly can because of our present limitations, the exalted, beautiful Word of God, it comes into view. Now, this is why there is always that element of supernatural remaining, even though the teaching is the clearest possible. And I'm sure that everybody who ever brought anything from God knew that there would be limitations in his ability to put that word across. Think of the prophet receiving something from God that they themselves only knew a part of. You say frustrating? Sure. But at the end time, it shall be light about the even time. Now then, since we see that the mysteries are the great truths, those formerly hidden truths that have come down to us, revealed by the Spirit, they are the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God, we want to study something about these mysteries, how they come to the people, how we receive them. All right? One, I'm going to give you about 8 points tonight on this portion. Only men gifted by God can bring any revelation to the elect. Repeat. Only men who are gifted by God can bring any revelation to the elect. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 7 to 10. Now, I'm not trying to get an exalted priesthood here, so don't be afraid. We just want to study the Bible the way it's good. Ephesians 3, 7 to 10. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am blessed and the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see. I've got to get the teaching, said Paul, to put it across. The fellowship of the mystery
which before times eternal hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Okay? 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 1 verse, first verse, let a man so account of us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, the brethren, as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, those who keep in charge and dispense for the welfare of the owner, the good, that steward, these ones that God ordained, placed in the church, so that they would be entrusted to handle the word of God for the people. Now you'll notice, we said in Ephesians 3 and 7, Paul was gifted to bring the revelation. He was the original gifted man. Right. No one else was gifted. Peter was not gifted to bring the message to Gentiles. John was not gifted. No, sir. Paul was gifted. Literally gifted. You know, the world today is talking about these charismatic creatures. We talk about businessmen with certain charisma. Yeah. A sign of the time that we would have the charisma amongst us. Any problem? Turn it down. Paul was given the privilege by grace. And remember, grace foreruns election. There's no grace, there couldn't be election. Now, he said he was graced, gifted, to bring the original revelation. And remember, this abides all through seven church ages. Paul was the first messenger, Irenaeus was the second, and every single age. Remember, it all starts by the Holy Spirit revealing Christ to the messenger and bringing the word to the day. And every age has the same admonition. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But the Spirit is speaking to one man expressly, who in turn preaches to the others. And as Paul said, teach faithful men that they in turn will teach others. They're gifted men. See? God has entrusted the mystery to the messengers and a dedicated five-fold ministry. The mysteries of God, the revelation, do not come to the ordinary church membership. If it did, Elijah would not have been a prophet messenger. It would have been a group. So many people still think today that the word of God is going to come to different ones getting together and sort of contributing what they have. That is not true. The word of God comes by the messenger of the day, of the age, of the hour, and those to whom God has entrusted the word. He gives you teachers, he gives you pastors who are able to teach, he gives you elders who are able to teach, he gives you evangelists who must base every sermon on the word of God, or he brings a bunch of goats to the front because he talks about mother. Now mother's a free woman. Forget her when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not in the picture. Nor your father, nor your uncle, nor your brother, they're not in the picture. It is Jesus and Jesus only. Remember, even Moses and Elijah were not in the picture. This is my beloved son here. See? So it's got to be that word, because Christ is that word. See? God entrusts men. And in every age, a special one. And remember, the word star, as I've explained here before, in the Greek, is not simply a luminary or a light holder, but it's the one to whom God has given the preeminence. See, the preeminent one amongst many like him. See, a preacher wearing the same kind of coat, same hat, same shoes, same language, and maybe not quite as good an education as somebody else has, and God says, I picked him. Pretty hard to sit still and listen to a man. And the church has that Laodicean spirit in it. You know, that spirit, I don't have this many, but I've got the Holy Ghost. Isn't that silly? And why did God put teachers in the church? See? These truths, these cardinal doctrines, the Word of God, the depth of the wisdom of Almighty God has been entrusted to seven church age messengers, and within the age to those that God raises up to teach the word to the people. That doesn't say the people aren't on the edge of getting things. No, because surely the Spirit wants to teach everybody. But remember, these are the guys to make sure we're thinking right, we're going right. Now, secondly, only gifted men can separate and coordinate the truth for the bride. To simply know each mystery will allow contradiction of the word, and then the Bible fights the Bible. The whole word must be reconciled to one body of truth. One living body of truth. I want to repeat that. It's given to the messengers and to those that God raises up to teach in his body, in the five ministries, those he brings in, see, and even elders can do too. It's up, God gives them the ability to coordinate the truth in the Word of God. Because if you don't understand coordination of the truth, you get the Bible fighting the Bible. See? Now let's show you the one I had in mind a while ago. Romans, 11th chapter. Now, Paul said in 25th verse, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles began." Now I want to ask you, Ed, how many people know that one right tonight? You got them running to the Jews and running to the Jews and running to the Jews, and it won't do any good. Because God cannot bring in Israel until they're through with their blindness, and that is not true until the last elected Gentile member to the body of Christ comes in. Now, you see, if we did not have the divine revelation concerning this mystery, we begin to have the word fight the word, because the Bible by Paul said to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. Well, now listen, if it's to the Jew first and also, then it ought to be running to every Jew to Christ. Forget it. Forget it. I just got the Bible fighting the Bible. That's what's wrong today. That's why you got denominations. That's why you got fussing. And people fussing at each other. And instead of pulling together, we're pulling apart. Why? Because evidently there is some teaching amongst the people by the wrong teacher. Not just us, all over the world, so-called Christian world. That's where we got a Baptist and a Presbyterian. Now the Bible does not fight the Bible. Why? Because God is the word, and Jesus said concerning the devil, if the devil casts out the devil, then Satan is divided and his kingdom falls, and if God fights God, then his kingdom is divided and God falls, right? And how can the word fight the word? Can't do it. There's a place of reconciliation. And that can only come by a man like the Apostle Paul, and the messenger for the age who teaches the truth, so the word becomes reconciled. Otherwise, you just have a fault. Now, you can see why there is such fighting in doctrine. The thing is, there are not very many true messengers or teachers or fivefold ministry. Now, let's take a look at this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. "And God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, five for ministry, for the perfecting of the saints." All right, for the what? Perfect thing. Who is the perfect one? The taught one. Those that are perfect are initiated, they're brought in house, for the word of God's sake. "For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith." Now, you know there can be no unity of faith, brother, sister, until we all believe the same revealed thing Because you cannot have true faith unless it's based upon a true revelation. Because Paul said, if we say that God raised Jesus, and God raised him not, your faith is vain. Huh? What's going to happen these folks think the Holy Ghost is going to fall in some certain place? Or see some certain thing got to happen down here, other place. Get your Bible, find out. Lay it on there. You ever had the experience of running up to somebody you thought you knew because he looked exactly like somebody you didn't know and found out he was the wrong guy? I had it happen to me once. Most embarrassing thing ever happened to me. Well, not the most embarrassing thing that happened in my life, but it was one of the real two embarrassing things. And this guy was a dead ringer for the guy that wasn't there. And one time a fellow at me, he thought I was his cousin. Well, I said, fella, that's sure nice of you, but I sure hate to inflict my looks on the other guy. Not that I bought a big inferiority complex that I got, but I said, I ain't he. All the faith in the world only cometh into destruction if it is not based on reality. See? Now, God gave these men not to go to some Bible school, not to go to some seminary, but to hear the messenger of the age. And in every generation, God would raise up these faithful men to pastor his flock until the new messenger came with the additional word of God. Now let me show you something here. Let's go back to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15. There are false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. You said the inside man is a wolf. The outside man is a sheep. Fool you every old time. My, he acts nice and sweet, and you'd swear he was a real man of God. Sure, you would. It's not a wolf in wolf clothing, it's a wolf in sheep clothing. In other words, he's a hypocrite. Make believe. You shall know them by their fruit. Now, you know you don't get fruit off a sheep, you get wool off a sheep. Now, he's really putting the mystery down right here now to confuse the general public. Just a good thing we had a prophet explain it to us. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, listen, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Brother Branham said that was people preaching the word. God has an absolute, genuine, fivefold ministry who wouldn't tell you a lie, who wouldn't teach you anything wrong, who would never make a disciple out of you, but would do only one thing, and that's to take you to the Word of God. And if something came up into a camp, they wouldn't try to make you take you to their camp. They just lay the Word of God down, and you do what you want. Because they're not in it. God's done it. Now you've got the false ones too. Good. Now that we know where those false ones came from, they came from Acts 20. Let me show you where it is. Never forget this now. The fivefold ministry is a genuine fivefold ministry. Now, where does the error come from? In verse 17 of Acts 20, Paul was in Miletus and sent to Ephesus for the elders. The elders never were a part of the fivefold ministry. But because they want to preach, God lets them preach. And then here's what he said to the elders, not the apostles and pastors and prophets in the fivefold ministry, to the elders. He said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God's own blood is Jesus Christ. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, wolf in sheep clothing, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. There you are. Elders. See, God does everything in seven. So he allowed the fivefold ministry to have added to it deacons and elders in order for the sending of the church. There are too many preachers with preachers in. Brother Branham said a man that's really called to God to preach doesn't want to preach, and God's almost got to break him if you make him preach. That's sure the truth. That's the one thing I was scared stiff of, that God had called me to preach. He let me know ahead of time. And I've been scared stiff ever since. As far as I'm concerned, preaching and I don't get along in the sense that we're kin. If I wasn't called to preach, you wouldn't be preaching. And I'm not trying to vindicate myself in that way, but you've got to have some of the earmarks. See? There's got to be reality somewhere. God's word says so. If it's handled by those, it should be handled by those that are ordained to God. And when they're ordained to God, the Bible says distinctly they will not have bad fruit. A fully ordained, elected minister of God will no more teach you a lie than you'll believe a lie. Why? Because you're both of that. Right? Bible says it. Number three. The mysteries of God are for edifying the bride, and were never intended of the Lord to be for judging and whipping. Howbeit, they do correct and guide the elect. Paul said here, all the mysteries, if you haven't got love, won't do you one bit of good. No show off. Nobody trying to beat the other fellow over the head. Cow you down like a lot of these preachers do. Say, now, sister, brother, you know very well the Bible says so-and-so. I don't care if the Bible does say so-and-so. I can just take the scripture and show anybody tonight with even two glass eyes in his head that the Gentiles can't even be born again until the new Jerusalem comes down if you want to read the Bible according to human chronology. Because it says when the wolf and the lion and the lamb and the little kid and the ass all get together in the holy mountain, it says then God will raise up an infant to which the Gentiles can trust. Well, he did that 2,000 years ago. But I can read my Bible and prove not even a Gentile's going to make me. So, you don't take the Word of God to just show somebody something and hold it in. Just like you hear a little book of creeds and dogs, our Holy Father Church. I got a little book today, the other day. It's about the Pentecostal Catholics. Oh, listen, this is the sweetest little nonsense you ever heard. They get more and more spiritual now since they talk in tongues and got all that love and go to Mass and pray the rosary and pray the beads and do their penances and all this other hogwash. Oh, it really needs something now. Well, they're robbing the bank while you talk in tongues to feed awful good people. To make you sanctified bankrupt. Like the one girl says, I've been talking in tongues, I really appreciate the Virgin Mary. Well, I do too. I'm not against the Virgin Mary. But she's not offended. Now the Pope said she was offended, but she isn't offended, she's in the grave. I just want one thing. I want to come forth like Mary if I go down. And if I don't go, and I want to go up like this, and that's as far as I'm into. See? The Word of God's not given for clubs and thieves and dogmas and beat people into submission. It won't work. Now, see, I know what I'm talking about. Because I'm one of those guys who can uproot the wheat with the tares where I preach, and I've got to walk them. If I even put my hand on something I've got nobody to put my hand on, it falls. Because you can't do God a service apart from His will. I don't care what you think you're doing, but if you take it from me, I live my life in sorrow because I'm too impulsive. You can't even help somebody thinking you're doing God a service if God's really in. This word's got to be handled right. It's got to be handled with a love and a reverence just to show the people. Then they do it. There's something wrong, I tell you this. Well, we used to buy the best stuff for our cows we could ever get before. I'll tell you something what a cow likes. There's nothing that cow likes better than prairie wool. Oh, they love that. I look at that prairie wool and I say, now,
I don't think there's fiddlies in that prairie wolf with that cow. I'm going to give her something else. And I doctor that stuff up with the cow, and she sort of, you know. But man, get her tongue in that prairie wolf. She loves it. There are certain things cows love. And you know what? That's the way she fought. And furthermore, she even got thin noses. A cow will starve where a sheep will go. A little thin nose sheep will give me one bit of that one big egg. One big gap. Oh, cousin. You'll get in. She dies. But that sheep knows that one blade of you that. You put the food in front of the sheep, which is what the people of the are supposed to do. And that's a sheep. And that sheep too. She got no problem. Now I preached myself a very pretty little sermon right there. But I'll just get it down in here. In good shape. I know what I'm talking about now. I may laugh about it, but I'm deadly serious and with a lot of wounds. Because you can't handle that word as a club for your zipper. You struggle, we're wrong. We're not here, brother, sister, to get hands on anybody or power anybody. It's simply food for the sheep. Feed my sheep. That's what Jesus said. Now, that's right. Let's look it over here in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Now, these are the mysteries, you know, we're talking about. Yes, sir, we haven't got one away from them at all. These are the beautiful truths in the Word of God. All right? Now, 3 and 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I love that. And is profitable for doctrine, that's your mysteries, your teaching broadly. Now, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wait till we talk about that later on in the week. That the man of God may be perfect. One of the perfect ones. How? Being one with that word. Why? Then because your faith is right with God. And brothers, sisters, by faith we're judged absolutely right. See? Line up your faith. That the man of God may be perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. How can any man, as a prophet said, serve God apart from this word? Can't do it. Gotta be one with the word. Now notice also that 1 Corinthians 13 and 2, to the last speaker of tongue and names and know all mysteries and all, makes it very clear that Christ's church is not based on teachings handed down from the fathers. That Dr. Duplessy and Brother Branham commented on it. God does not have grandchildren. We don't take our doctrine by Sunday school, where you take a bus and you gather all the kids and you teach them that word perfectly. It doesn't get anywhere. There's a bunch of doctrinaire kids. You're not Christ's children. You know what I'm talking about. Well, listen, do you know something? Everybody knows who knows anything about Sunday school. The minute the Sunday school structure becomes top heavy, you have already backslidden so far you're finished. In other words, look on the board. Now, you don't have it here, so that's good. So I can let this in front. They put boards in the front of the churches up here, and they say, Sunday school, 125. Oh, boy, that's a nice church. And the kids go home, and you see six people, of which five are women, sitting there. He ain't got no church, he's got men. Sure, you got mixed. I said, well, brother, there, yeah, I'll wait, honey. I'll wait till Pappy preaches, great old grandpappy preacher. He said, all those kids up here, all these kids now, they thought he's got a preacher. Yeah, thought he's got two. I'm not rough on these things, but I gotta be. You don't do it that way. It's not something handed down because you can recite the Apostles' Creed. There's no description of that. It's a revelation, brother, sister. It's taught in love. It's taught as truth for the people. It's laid up there expecting the grace of God to fall upon it. Heart responding to heart. That's the way Brother Branham did it. That's why at the end of every message you want to set up and shout and jump and have a great time. I've had preachers tell me you didn't have a lot of singing. I'm not against a lot of singing. And I'm not against shouting. I'm all for it. I'm all for anything that's clean, emotionally good. I'm all for it. Do whatever you like. But I want to tell you, when they try to tell you that's the whole secret of the anointing and not that word, I back away now. Because I saw what Brother Branham could do, and I've seen in many meetings, when this word is preached in the love of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, those people are so enthusiastic, they're so anointed, the stimulation of the wine of revelation coursing through their veins, they set them on fire. Absolutely. They come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not something you work up. Don't you know, Brother Sister Psychology proves absolutely truly that your emotion can swing into faith. Emotion can swing into faith. That's not what you want, emotion. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Word, my brother, my sister. The Word, the Word, the Word. Amen. Sure. All right, fourth thing. All right. The mysteries of God, which are foolishness to the world, must be proclaimed with boldness. No shame in preaching what others repudiate. Brother Branham preached the whole sermon, and it's a shame to him. Okay, Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And 19 verse. Okay. As for me, and to me, save me, said Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul said that I may ever be bold to preach this word. You know, it takes courage to preach the word of God. You may die for it. It takes courage to stand up and explain mystery Babylon. It takes courage to stand up and explain who the harlot is. It takes a lot of courage to stand up in the face of Pentecostalism, which is being embraced by every denomination, and tell them that this is a false thing, that they're simply under an anointing, the two spirits being so close. Oh, take courage, brother sister, and we may die for it. You can't stand behind a pulpit and be weak-kneed. You can't get a revelation of God sitting in that pew and be weak-kneed. Now, sometimes it's hard. Paul knew to be hard. But he said, I'm prepared to go to Jerusalem and die for what I'm going to teach. I'm going to go down and take Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to confront the high priest, if need be. I'll be gentle about it. I'll be a man of God, but I'm going to do it. See, boldness. It takes boldness to preach the word of Almighty God. Notice what it says in Colossians, the fourth chapter. 2-4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which am also in bond. Notice what Paul said. I want you to pray for me that God would open doors so I can take this word. You know, right today a lot of people think it's too late to take this word out. Now listen, folks, I got news for you. Don't be that way. I know for a while I wondered if it was all over you. But don't be that way. Let me just hold your finger. Let me read what it says in the book of Hebrews here. Fourth chapter. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left up of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Any of you should feel that He's come too late. As long as this bride has not yet been changed in her flesh, you keep taking that word out. And bless God if He lets you stay here a few days after your flesh has been changed, then go tell somebody about that too if He lets you. Right. Pray for those doors. Pray for those doors. See? Pray that this word go out. You know, a few years ago, the women wouldn't pray. And they, instead of praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, they done one themselves. Oh, what a mess they made of that mission field. They got, you know, yapping at me down there in North Carolina one time. They had to send them straight. You know. Well, they said, well, you men wouldn't go. Well, I said, so what? Well, they said, so we had to go. I said, you sure don't know your Bible, do you? What do you mean? Haven't you read where the Bible said, pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers in your harvest? Why didn't you get praying for God to thrust them forth? They said, you don't, shame on it. The next thing they cut their hair and they started winning the manacles, looking tippy, tippy, torn, pretty, there were flowers in the ear. Now, don't tell me, I know what I'm talking about. I knew a lady in Florida, she had me bamboozled for a while too, that was a pretty smart idea. Looked so pretty, pretty, and all. Had to get folks seeing the religion meeting with something nice. That's like these businessmen with a pocket full of dough, and they'll persuade you, bless God, if $1 million looks at Jesus Christ, and He looks at $1 million 3 times, and you folks got a nickel ought to look maybe His way too, hey? Come on. Pardon the sarcasm, it cuts the cloth, I'm easy.
or there's not sarcasm, maybe it's pointed preaching. We don't fool with these things like this. We've been called to a high and noble calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a price to pay with preaching this word. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any price to pay now. I love this word. I may have to pay a price later on. But as far as being ashamed of it, I've said on many occasions that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to tarry for 100 years, and I was allowed to preach as a pastor for the next 25 years, I would preach nothing but this message because nothing else makes sense. I can't understand why people don't love it and flock into it. It's exhilarating, it's intriguing, it's beautiful, it's edifying, it's empowering, it's wonderful. I know what you're looking for. This is more exciting than the Wild West story. Right. You know the Bible is. If the people think that book's tame, that's not a tame book. This raises the dead, bless God. Anything enemy raises the dead ain't tame. Right. See, it may cost you something. It's a wonderful gospel. Never be ashamed of it. Oh, they may fuss at you for circumcision and the fact that you women aren't supposed to wear these miserable kind of clothes they wear and this and that. Well, you just stick with the good old truth. As Brother Brown said to me about the hair, he said, your hair is your glory. Wear it with pride. Somebody tried to say, let it hang down around your waist, because Brother Brown had a vision of the women in those days with their hair, you know, their hips. And you say, what about the fact you said men with craggly hair to their shoulders? Oh, that'll get them. Young women, listen, you don't need to let your hair hang down your waist. He said, you women that complain about the fact long hair is too hot, he said, what's cooler than rolling up in the back of your head off and in? See? Let's put these little goodies in here, so any chance I get, I want to know we're not preaching some doctrine that's superficial or something that's silly. Listen, we have the absolute, powerful, wonderful Word of God that they haven't had it for 2,000 years. And we ought to just be so proud of it. See? Sure, we're not proud of ourselves. Sure, we're saved. We do a lot of things. Absolutely. But I want to tell you, the bride is getting upset right now by being one of that word. She believes that word. She believes in a vindicated message. All right, what's the 15th? The 15th, it is evident that the mystery will not scatter or separate the bride, but bring her together. That's absolutely true. Colossians, the second chapter. 1-7, for I would you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, that's our age, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That Brother Branham could be written writing the same thing. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father in Christ. Now you notice right there, the acknowledgement of the mystery would be towards the man who brought it. And that's at the end time also. First of all, we have got to be set upon the prophet. If you're not set on the prophet, you cannot believe this message, brother. Because this is everything. This prophet is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18 and Acts 3, where a man with thus saith the Lord came with a vindicated message. Now listen, what kind of a God is there who would allow anybody to come with thus saith the Lord and let his thus saith the Lord come to pass if God wasn't in it? You think for 1 minute I'd have one of you folks say thus saith Ezekiel and you quoted me wrong? I'd say, now just a minute there, fella. You might have meant well, but you aren't doing well. You're wrong, because I will not allow my name to go with what you said. Because I didn't say that. Now, do you think for 1 minute that God Almighty is such a peculiar creature? He's such a peculiar being? Such a mess? So lacking with dignity and honor? And yet all through the Bible, I'm a sovereign God. I tell you, I don't give my counsel, I don't take counsel from anybody, and I don't allow this and I don't that. But when that fellow William Brown said, Dr. Love, I thought that was kind of cute of humor. Huh? That's what the world thinks. That's what the world thinks. A vindicated prophet with thus saith the Lord. God himself saying, I come with what God is telling you now. I am speaking for God. The proof is that it come to pass, it came to pass. And why don't you believe the promise?
want to believe.
How could you dare not to believe him? This is what Paul said. To the acknowledgement of what? The acknowledgement of Paul's understanding of the mystery. Paul bringing it. See? Say, Brother Branham, you brought a vindicated word. I believe it. You understand it?
Nope.
I'm hanging on. You got it all?
Nope.
I'm looking to. You believe it all?
Sure.
Sure. Why? The man's vindicated, thus said the Lord. Infallible. That's exactly it. See? Now, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What's enticing words? Come on now. Is anything different what Paul said? Anything different? Just the way the devil entices you. Something different. See? Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, how did they receive Christ Jesus the Lord? First of all, by the word. That's the first thing. They had to get that word. And the Spirit of God could be from then on. Rooted and built up in him. How did you get rooted? Word. Established in the faith. Where's faith? Caused by hearing, hearing by the word. As you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. How can anybody look here and look there when they had the Apostle Paul? How can you look any place else when you had a man like William Branham? Oh, boy, I want to tell you, I'm sure glad my eyesight's thin. I ain't got time looking place else. I'm just keeping my memory what my eyes got on. Sure. You know what's in the place out there. That's exactly what Paul said. Notice it. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 1. Now we beseech your brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Brother Branham said that was the last end-day message. The gathering by the message. Let's prove it. Matthew 23 and 37. All right? Here it is. O Jews and Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers your chickens under her wings, you would not. How does God gather his people? He gathers his people by the words of the prophet and the words of the messenger. See? God gathers them. We, the bride, is never scattered by the word. The bride is brought out by the word and kept by the word. Come out of her, my people. What was it? The shout. What was the shout? A message. What's the shout? A military command. Isn't that a military command? Come out of her. Behold the bridegroom. Come out. Not go forth. That's the silliest thing in the world, that translation. That's no translation of God's word. Go forth. That's the fellow inside the building. I inside the building, I say go forth. When I'm outside, I say, come out. How could you have a man, a prophet, or some messenger, or somebody inside an organization? Huh, he's got to be out. Then he calls others out. God gathering his bride by the word. Brother, sister, listen. The bride is never scattered by the word. She's gathered by the word. Remember William Branham came? What was it God said? John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so your message forerun the second. What was it? Gathering a bride. Brother Brown said, I believe by the grace of God, I'm bringing a bride to Jesus Christ. Six, no true minister of the mystery will use his office in any way except for the sake of the word and for the elect. 1 Timothy 3 and 9. The office that God gives him, the use of the word, is to preach that word for the sake of the elect. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Sure, preachers make a living by preaching. But if you're on the road and just preaching for money, just get a job. Peter said, watch it lest you should be enticed by filthy lucre. You know? Why do people like these great big churches? Well, they don't have a lot of sheep, they got a lot of cows to milk. Yeah?
in the dairy business. Now, naughty, naughty, that's not the word of God. Sheep business. He never said the cow herder with the corral. He said the shepherd and the sheepfold. Sure, the sheep are sheared, but they're not sheared for the sake of shearing. They have to give according to God's word, that's all. And what does the tithe do? The tithe goes to the church. Many people have an idea they can save the tithe for their best friend to come to and get it. Naughty, naughty. You don't do that. Church order, 572. Come through the pastor, through the deacon, and the pastor must use what he needs, and then he has got to give the rest to us, the ministry. Not the building, and not the radios, and not the channels and this. That is true ministry, huh? Because there's five full ministries. Not four, not one full. Is that right? Right, right, right. It's the prophet of God brought it. But people don't want those things. Do they? Want to send it here, send it there, and do this? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Luke. Stick to the word. That man must, he's got to be business right. So much the people. But your mind is not on big buildings, of course, even your mind's not on that, but that's the old thing that the world looks for. Nice this and nice that and wonderful this and wonderful that. And they miss God entirely. Now, certain mysteries are necessarily reserved for a certain season and cannot be made known until it's time for the manifestation. This revelation is for the bride, that she might never be deceived, so the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Certain right now, this is in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-7, where it says that mystery was already working but could not come into full fruition until a certain thing took place. So therefore, certain mysteries are reserved for a certain time. Just like Daniel. Seal up the book. Just for another age. And brother, sister, remember, at the end age, it all can be. And at this point, there has to be some kind of manifested vindication to prove which one it is to whom God has given the true revelation or the doctrine to the bride. Now, that happened once at the beginning of the church ages and once at the end. Paul received the vindicated word of God. He said, I brought it to you in power so that you know human words would not do what my words did. Okay. Brother Branham said, you saw right here what a man's word will not do. God's word. Paul was vindicated. And so, at the end of the age, we have another vindicated. Now why? Why did Paul have a vindicated message? You know what? What kind of a woman would trust a man with the drunkard? You've got to be sick. No, I'm not kidding. Any woman, virtuous young virgin, who will marry a drunkard has got to be sick. He hasn't got anything to show to justify any faith in him. He would have to be sick. Or a woman knows that this man has run with every other girl, and now he wants her. Say, go on, get one of the other swaps in. He runs with somebody else later on. This is why Paul had to bring a vindicated message for that virgin bride so she'd have faith in the man she's going to marry. And when Paul came with thus saith the Lord, with the pure, unadulterated word, that virgin bride says, that's the man I'm going to marry. He's mine. See? Paul said, now I'm afraid, he said, let some city slicker come by and begin to deceive you like you would deceive. Where does it come? Corrupting the mind. And a corrupt mind brings reprobate faith. Oh, brother, sister, if this mind is not lined with the word of God, you may feel all you want, you never make it. Brother Brown said, the proper mental attitude toward any promise in the book will make it reality. So it is the mind is the womb. See? That's it. And of course, this bride, in the beginning, wanted nothing but the word. And so therefore she was a virgin of that word. But Paul said, one day you're going to fall. And John said, one day you're going to fall. That's Acts 20:22-31, I read something. And 1 John 2:18-19, and 1 John 4:6. You read this out sometimes. Thus the church went into error with no vindicated prophet to bring her back to her original purity. Not one man from Paul down
to this age, not one man, from Paul to this age, until Brother Branham came, had the pure and entire Word of God. But God gave the necessary revelation through messengers in every age. Let's prove it now. Titus, the first chapter. Timothy, Titus. Verses 1 to 3, first chapter. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, that's on the Word, and even the acknowledgement of the truth which is after promise, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now this third verse in the original says this: but in his own private and strategic season, he made known his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted, in accordance with the commandment of God. Paul in his season was entrusted. Aurelius in his season was entrusted. Martin in his season. Columba in his season. Luther in his season. Wesley in his season. And William Branham in his season was entrusted. Now listen carefully and get this. God promised at the end time there would be a complete revelation of the Word. In the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Remember the mystery of God? Be finished. As God had declared the news of the gospel by his servants the prophets, a little translation. Now then listen, what is it? It was the seventh seal. Because remember, the seventh seal was the seal of what? Silence. And Brother Branham said, going from Genesis to Revelation, he could trace the seventh seal all the way through. All right, let's go to where he said you do. Plant the seed of the entire Bible. From what? The serpent to the prophet in the former rain. God revealing every mystery. The question arises, what was that serpent? Nobody could tell you. The prophet told you. And the prophet told you this. What did he do? The prophet told you. People guessed at it, but he knew. What was that seventh seal? The seventh seal opening all the mysteries in the Word of God. As Brother Branham said, though that was the seven thunders, that's what the seven thunders is all about. Seven seals. The seven seals gave the bride everything she needed to put in the rapture. All right, now listen carefully. Remember, the bride at the beginning was what? She was a virgin. Was she the virgin the next age? Nope. Only to the word she knew, not to the whole word. Third age, same thing. Fourth, fifth, that's sixth. But the seventh age, Brother Branham had a vision, and he saw the first age of you, and a preview and a view, right? All right? The first age was a preview. Then the seventh age came. First, that American rock and roll witch, the harlot. She wasn't the bride. Suddenly, there came a song, Onward, Christian Soldiers Marching with the War. A little bride comes up. And she was identical to the first bride. See? Why? Because the bride is the body of Christ. And Christ is Alpha and Omega, so therefore the bride is Alpha and Omega. So the first bride must be identical to the last bride, and the last bride must be identical to the first bride, and what goes in between, that doesn't matter. God is great. Because Alpha and Omega. So at the end time, William Branham came with the Word of God to turn her back to being a virgin of the Word, in order that in her the last mystery, which is the last revealed Word of God, should come into manifestation in the flesh. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. They without us cannot be made perfect. So God brings a virgin bride, and in her is fulfilled all the mysteries, based on what? A vindicated prophet ordained of God to bring that word to the believing elect, who, when they identify themselves with that word in absolute faith, will become that living word expressed. It is at this end time. So we see, the prophet brought us the word of Almighty God, and when he brought us that word, it was the complete revelation. Now then, watch that bride.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Completed, right? Okay. The bride is completed. The Word of God is completed. Because the bride is that Word. The original Word, original seed, spoken Word. Every word manifested in due order, no one more to be manifested. The last of the Gentiles have now come in. The bride stands put. What's she waiting for? She's waiting now for that Word to have full, absolute authority within it. She becoming one with that Word for the end time. Why? She couldn't be that in the first age, because the Word of God said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. They couldn't go the first age, they weren't all there. They couldn't go the second age, they weren't all there. They couldn't go the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth, but in the seventh, they were all there. Now then, the bride is completely revealed. See? Therefore, the Word must be completely revealed, because you see, I keep telling you, one part of that Word says, we shall not all flee, but we shall all be changed. And that's the last word or mystery in the Bible. What are the mysteries, Brother Christian? The Word of God come down by revelation, revealing God. And you know something? I know this sounds awful far-fetched for a bunch of people like us, but we're part of that. We are. We are part of that revelation, aren't we? We are. We are part of that revelation, aren't we? I know we are so full of mock humility, which is nothing but unbelief. We simply cannot give God credit that this is that bride. But I always have been encouraged by the bride of the book of Songs of Solomon. You know, it says in there that that little bride heard him. All she heard is his voice. And it says she just fell in love with his voice and just literally melted and oozed her way to the door. She just couldn't get her lover. Oh, I heard his voice. Hanging in his arms. And she got there, there wasn't anybody there. And she said, I just thought of him. I've heard his voice and it's all given. And that's all she wanted was that voice. It's all she wanted. And so she went out to find him. And she was so pretty and so nice. And oh my, she looked lovely. And pretty soon her garments began to tear on the thorn hedges, and dogs began to chase her, and people tried to get smiles and touch at her garments and all. And by the time she went all that night trying to find him, and she was just so beat up, and finally she got there, and oh, that pretty coiffure was all hanging down, and the clothes were in shreds now, and her arms no doubt were scarred with the thorns, and she looked a mess, and said, oh Lord, I hate to see him, but and that's when he walked right in front of me. He said, oh, he said, you're beautiful. He said, you weren't half as, you're twice as beautiful as you were then. He said, you thought you were beautiful, but he said, now you're beautiful. And you know, gentlemen, we just don't really understand that Brother Branham said, when a man looks for a woman with character, not some sex thing, that's when he's a man. Jesus isn't looking for any sex thing. He's looking for a bride of his word. And I want to tell you, I don't blame little old Rebecca. Perhaps she rode on those camels all those days. She might have been pretty sore and pretty dusty, and I don't think she had much chance to look too pretty. But he just flopped her veil in front of her face, and he came by and he just fell in love with her red lips. Now, Brother Sister, that's what I'm talking about tonight, these mysteries. They have all been opened to. We know the Word. We know where he stands. We know where our faith is. Now it's time to believe it. And put it on. And never mind looking at yourself and wondering about this and wondering about the other fellow. It's time to just sit down with that good Word of God. And call it food if you want. call it what you want, the Word of God. Clothe yourself. Feed yourself with it. Become identified with it. And stand with that revealed Word in your faith. Remember when Abraham got to that place, there was no use looking at Sarah. She wasn't fit to be looked at. A 90-year-old woman going to be a young bride to bear a child? He said, Sarah, you ain't fit to look at. She said, I know, but did you look in the mirror this morning, Harry? He said, I quit looking there because I haven't been fit to look at a whole long time before you weren't fit to look at. So they didn't look at each other. They just looked to the Word of God. One day,
And he suddenly felt, hey, he's pretty good for lamb and corn shuck. And then he said that to you, good, I've done this 30 years. He looked good, he's humble, jumped out of bed. He was a beautiful young man. He got to bed so fast he knew something really was wrong, because he never had bed that fast before. He looked in the mirror, he was a young man. Brother, sister, that's what faith in God's word is. Apart from work, the mysteries have been revealed. I have got faith in that word. And you know something? That's all I have got faith in. Because if it isn't, by grace according to his word, I ain't going to make it. But if it is by grace, and he says it is by faith, then how am I going to make it? Well, you love the word tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you, shall we rise. I love him. I love him because his love tonight. We thank you that you're not a God who's far off, but you're right here, Lord. We know you're here. We know, Lord Jesus Christ, that your presence is with us to continue to help us in magnifying thy name and edifying the people, Lord, by thy spirit and word within us. This is what we desire, Lord, be one with your word tonight. And we know, Lord, that we're on the right track because we have heard the prophet. We've identified him and that word, Lord, and we've identified ourselves with it. And we're not going to budge from it, O God. We're going to stand because we know that this is the one place that's safe to stand. And Lord, we know that as we go along, that you're faithful to reveal yourself unto us and to bring us into a place of edification we have not been hitherto. You're going to do it, Lord, because you promised. And we thank you, Lord, you're doing it day by day because these things are becoming clearer and clearer. We know, Lord, that it was in the darkest day of the apostles' lives and you met them on the road to Emmaus. And there you opened the book to them, and you took all the scripture concerning yourself and showed it to them. Tonight, Lord, we believe that you're doing that very same thing to us. And one of these days, Lord, we're going to see a real manifestation of the Son come forth, because your prophet said the bride would produce that Son. Surely that's exactly what's going to happen. Lord, I know that. This bride stands on the earth. One day, there's others going to join it. But I believe before that takes place, this is going to be a word-identified bride and a word-manifesting bride. What all that means, Lord, I don't know, but I've got the assurance it's just going to be a simple pattern of life. It's going to be the word of God living. And Lord, it's going to be just the way your prophet told us. It's going to be just natural as breathing, sleeping, and eating, walking. Just walk right on in to eternal things. Lord, I know that, and I thank you for it. Bless each one here, I pray, O God. May every heart, Lord Jesus Christ, be filled with joy and overflowing. Any sick bodies, Lord, may they be renewed. May they be revitalized tonight. May the God of all grace show forth his glory to his honor and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Friday night, 7:35.